Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast from Faith Point Church, Auckland, New Zealand. We hope you will encounter God afresh in this week's teaching segment. If you enjoy this podcast and would like to hear more, then you can visit us at www.faithpoint.org.nz. And now for today's message.
So today I want to talk about the eight legitimate needs for a healthy soul that we didn't know we had. I want to start up with a story where we had a small group discussion the other day when I asked, is God our Father? You know, everyone said, no doubt, you know, yes, God is our Father. And then when I asked, so if this translates to us being God's children, and then everyone said, yeah, definitely, yes and amen to that, right? Then I flipped the question to the other way around, and I asked, so if we are children of God, then how were we fathered as children of God? And I think that really got us thinking, and I went a little bit more deeper to ask, so how were we parented? You know, so I think at this point, you know, we started to struggle because sometimes it's so easy for us to say God loves us and God loves us. But it's actually quite hard to break down what does that mean by God loving us, right? So that's why today I want to break down what it means by God loving us in a practical sense or in an emotional sense and a relational sense. And don't get me wrong, I'm not just talking about all the natural things, because I believe in these areas there is still a very strong spiritual element to it. And because like sometimes God can meet our needs supernaturally, but sometimes God will use other people to meet our needs practically and naturally. And don't forget, sometimes if other people are not there to meet those needs, we can still meet those needs ourselves, just like how David, he would encourage himself in the Lord. So I just want to cover that as well. So 1 John chapter 3 in verse 1. I'm going to go to this verse there. Oh, actually, let me just go back to this little picture that I got. I think sometimes we do have to go to the basement of our soul just to see what is untidy. And there are still things that are undealt with. And we need to be brave enough to go to the basement of our soul and to say, hey, look at this. Oh, I need to work on this. This is not tidy. Does it make sense to us? So let's just go to the verse. 1 John chapter 3 in verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. That is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. So this is the verse that I really want to share. The word lavished means to give excessively or generously. So imagine that when the Apostle John mentioned about this verse, he didn't say that, oh, well, God has some love and he decided to love you. No, he didn't say that. John actually said that, see how great love, you know, the great love the Father has for us. And he actually leveraged that on us. In other words, it means God's love is so excessive, so inexhaustible, and so much for us. And not only for us, but for each situation of our lives. That really shows a deep and love. It actually shows such a deep love that God the Father has for us. And I believe that he desires us to have a deep, loving relationship between us and the Father. The reason why people of the world or the people of the world may not recognize or understand your faith is because they don't understand the God of our faith. And they don't understand how can we have a loving relationship between us and God the Father. So how do we feel loved? You know, I think it's one thing for us to say, oh yeah, you know, God loves us. But if I flip it to the other side, I would say, so how do we feel loved? You know, we feel loved by having our legitimate needs met. You know, now I'm not talking about, you know, getting a big house or getting so many cars and, you know, having so much money. That's not what I'm talking about. Those are, I would categorize those things as desires or wishes. But they are not legitimate needs. So today I want to talk about the legitimate needs where we need to for our holistic role or growth as a person. So what are legitimate needs? The legitimate needs are reasonable requirements for our essential well-being and growth. And when those legitimate needs are met, we will grow healthily. And remember, as a Christian, or as even as a person, as an individual, we are to grow healthily. We don't just work, and we don't just do things. We always want to grow, and grow as a child of God, as a man of faith, and as a person holistically. We are called to grow, and when people don't know that they haven't had some of their legitimate needs met, they will end up running around finding those, finding different things to fill those needs so subconsciously. And I think a lot of people, where they would bump into sin or they will end up sinning because they didn't realize that there are needs that there are needs in their lives that needed to be met. And then they would go off to some different wrong ways to find those needs met. So I want to identify that. Okay, not identifying or meeting those legitimate needs can result in different negative outcomes, like, you know, toxic self-image, strained relationships, inability to resolve issues, lack of self-awareness. And on and on. So we need to understand those are the needs that we need. So let's just move on to the next one. Now, these legitimate needs are foundational, and I have to say that some of these needs can be met supernaturally by our Heavenly Father. And I remember that one of the first times when I encounter God was that I felt like God touched me with the love of God, and I ended up crying for 3 days, 3 days and three nights. I didn't go to uni. I skipped a lot of classes for those 3 days. Why? Because I felt the love of God touch my heart so much that I started to cry so much to the point that I became so exhausted to go anywhere. But I think during those 3 days, I really felt like the Lord actually healed a lot of old hurts and old wounds in my life. And I started to feel like, you know, I started to understand what love of God is from that time. But however, there were times that God would use other people or other means to fill those needs in my life. And I remember there were times that Pastor James or Richard or Phil, they would pray for me, and they would speak words of life over my life, and I felt loved. I really felt loved, you know, in those prayer sessions and times of fellowship, and I knew that God is the source of love, but then He would actually use other people, and the same thing, you know, He would use our parents or other trusted people to love us. But I want to focus on that one thing, is that don't forget that God can actually use you to love yourself. You know, He can use other people, but He can also use you, because like you have the Holy Spirit in you. You have a mouth. You have a heart. You know, if you don't learn to care for yourself and love yourself, and then you have to keep, like, you have to wait for other people to love you, you know, sometimes you might not get that. So that's why, like I mentioned before, David, you know, King David, he learned to encourage himself in the Lord. There were times that my wife wasn't with me, or you know, Pastor James wasn't with me. I had to learn to process things myself and to come to my own senses. And that's how I feel love sometimes too. So so it's very important to understand that. So I'm gonna go through these 8 legitimate needs for a healthy soul. And these are the 8 of them. And I'm gonna go through each one of them with some scriptures and some points. Number one, welcome or feeling accepted unconditionally. Luke chapter 15 in verse 20, it says, but while yet he was still afar off, so he's talking about, so the verse is talking about the prodigal father waiting for his prodigal son. So the prodigal father saw his son from afar off, and he was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. So the first legitimate need that we need as a person is unconditional acceptance. And I found that in our early Christian walks with the Lord, sometimes we feel like, I want to do something for the Lord, or I feel like I'm not worthy. But I think one thing I learned from God is that he said, I love you because he is love. He loves me not because of what I can do. And I guess like we all had a little bit of that from our childhood upbringing, that you know we would get compared with our siblings or with our cousins or with other people's kids, and sometimes we might grow up in an environment where we would get more accepted if we are smarter or more intelligent or better looking, or we can please other people better. And, you know, subconsciously, that becomes conditional acceptance. And I think as kids growing up, we had to, we didn't realize that, not subconsciously, I guess like we didn't realize that sometimes we receive love conditionally. That means like if we know how to please people, if we are smarter, if we work harder, then we get more approved. We will get more approved from our parents or our family. Now, I'm not saying that our family is evil, and I'm not saying that our parents were evil, but I think sometimes as kids, we don't interpret situations as wisely as adults. So if we have some sort of wrong interpretations when we were young, we have to go back and to examine that and to process that, and don't let that become a toxic belief in our lives. And a lot of people, we don't go back to the basement and to realize that, oh, you know what? When I was young, mom and dad were happy with, say like my sister working harder and looking good, and then she knows how to please people and she knows how to use her words. But then I didn't know how to do all that, so I felt like I was less than her, and things like that. I used to think like that as well, but I had to come to a place where I have to reprocess the situation and reread the situation, and to help myself to understand that, oh no, that's not what it meant. But as a kid, we tend to read things wrongly, but as an adult, we have the opportunity to reinterpret the situation so that we don't get to be we don't get to have these wrong beliefs operating in our lives. I think this is very important. Okay, number two, rest. To a lot of people, we think rest is just to have a good sleep. Well, to have a good sleep for us physically, yes. But psychologically or emotionally or relationally, rest means being unburdened by the needs of others. Now, I'm not saying that we don't serve people, and I'm not saying that we don't want to take responsibility, and I'm not saying that we're not going to help people. That's not what I'm saying. But look at what Jesus said in Matthew 11:28. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Right. And that means when we rest, We don't want to sleep with a mind thinking, oh no, I haven't done this. Oh, so-and-so needs help. And I guess like as ministry leaders, you know, as ministry leaders, sometimes we do tend to have that, and we need to learn to, I guess, like to switch off in, sometimes, and to think, hey, look, it's okay for me to rest. It's okay for me to think, it's okay for me to not to think about the needs of other people, because if we tend to have that all the time, we can't even have a good sleep. You know, we can't even feel like, oh, we want to go out for fishing, you know, like Phil just said before. And I fell into this this category a lot. And I feel like, man, I need to take care of other people's needs to the point that I just feel so burdened. And I believe that can actually cause people to burn out. And it's a need. You know, we need to rest, and we need to almost like we need to switch off from our responsibilities from time to time to get recharged. And I mean, prayer is a really powerful thing. You know, when we feel like there are so much needs, so many needs there, we just have to pray and leave it up to God, and to allow God to carry those burdens instead of us carrying those burdens. And I remember I did talk to a few pastors before. One particular pastor, he said, I can't sleep because the burden of the people, the needs of the people in the church is too burdensome and too much. And it really got to him. And we ended up encouraging him to take a break. Otherwise, it's just too much, you know, and just allow Jesus to carry those burdens. And I know we are responsible people, but also we need to be responsible enough to rest. Yeah, otherwise we won't last, you know, we won't last long in our ministry, right? Yes. Number three, freedom to express all emotions. That's a big one, because I would say many of us were taught not to express our emotions. And because of that, when the love of God came and we bursted out crying, because we just felt like, I thought we were not allowed to express our negative feelings. You know, in our home we have a motto, and one of the mottos in our home is that big boys don't cry. Big boys don't cry. You don't cry. You just suck it up and do it. And yet. Psalm 34 in verse 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. So I guess like when we come into the presence of God, we would feel such a sense of acceptance, to the point that we feel like, hey, look, we are allowed to cry. What if something that was done wrong to us? Okay, well, we're allowed to feel upset or angry. We're allowed to let out our emotions and to tell the Lord that, Lord, this is how I'm feeling, okay? I'm just feeling not great, but I want to pour it out before you. You know what? If you don't pour it out before God, you will either keep it in your soul, or you will pour it, or you spill it out to other people. Either ways are not healthy. We need to go back to the Lord and say, God, okay, I want to tell you exactly how I felt. And it might sound really ugly, but I believe this is the first step, or one of the first steps towards healing and restoration. Because as I share that with the Lord, as we share that with the Lord will come close, because I'm being transparent to him. Amen. So that's number three. Number four is to play. And now this is a very interesting point, and I found that this is something that I didn't have, because, you know, but I'm going to explain this first. So play, not just to play with some toys or just to have some fun times. Playing means to have unstructured, imaginative exploration. That means like playing is not about doing it right or doing it wrong. It's not about winning or losing. Playing is just simply have fun and just explore and without a lot of structures, but just to be able to find your way through, find your steps, and to get to the destination. Mark chapter 10 in verse 13 to 16, it says, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Isn't that interesting? When we read this verse, Jesus didn't say that, "Come to the kingdom of God like a mighty warrior." It didn't say that, "Come to the kingdom of God like a king, or like a grown up, responsible adult." You know, Jesus didn't say that. He said, "Well, you know what, guys? When you come to the kingdom of God, I want you to have a lot of curiosity like a kid. I want you to explore the possibilities like kids." You know, as kids, we don't think about, you know, what can I achieve? What can I gain from this? We just want to explore. You know, we just want to have fun, and we just want to see what are the possibilities, without preconceptions, without some sort of set expectations. We just want to go there just to see what's there, and then let's just have a look and see what's out there. And I believe that's a form of playing, and that's something that we all need. I have to say that personally, I grew up with mom and dad, and mom and dad used to run a factory and a business. So when I was young, even when I was as young as a 7-year-old or 8-year-old, I started working, you know, because like mom and dad would get me to do stuff, to work in a factory with them, and I really didn't really play much, and I had to realize the fact that I grew up with a mindset of, I guess, like purpose. I want to do something. I didn't really think about playing. So I guess like growing up, now as an adult, playing or going out for a tour, or to organize a barbecue is not actually a really thing for me, you know. And my default setting is always to go back to do something. And I realized that I was raised up that way, and I guess like I didn't play as much. And I found that when people who didn't play as much, their creativity might not be as great. Their entrepreneurship might not be as great. And because entrepreneurship, creativity, innovativeness actually came from exploring. And that's actually a form of play. So, point four is a big thing for me. And I have to learn to relax and play myself, even, you know, in this age. And I realize that, well, I lacked that when I was young, but I can redeem that now. So it's a really key point for me, number four. Number five is affirmation. Affirmation means building confidence and self-worth through words or through physical touch, or, you know, physical affirmation. Matthew chapter 3 in verse 17, it says, "And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased.'" So this is the voice of the Father. Then again, the voice of the Father speaking to the only begotten Son, Jesus. Many of you guys would know that at that point, Jesus had not healed a sick. He had not healed one sick person, or he had not preached a message. And yet God, the Heavenly Father, said, "I'm pleased with him." God is pleased with him not because of what he did or what he can do. God is pleased with him because of who he is, because of the relationship that he had with the Father. It's not about what you can do and what you have. And we have to realize that our self-worth cannot be based in our work and our performance. If we do, then the time we stop working, we feel like we don't have any more self-worth, and then we feel bad. And we don't want to feel that way. We don't want to feel that way, no. And the way to really get out of it is to switch our self-worth in the love of God. My worth is in the love of God. My self-worth is not in my work. You know, I'm not my work, you know, and I'm not my performance, you know, and I'm a child of God. Amen. So if we can get this right, we don't get anxious, I believe, at least half of the time. Number six, correction. Learning from mistakes and boundaries. Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 5-6. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make lightly of the Lord's discipline. He will actually and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those who he loves. That means learning is a key thing. It's one of the legitimate needs, and I have to address that. Correction is not rejection. Correction is not rejection, and a lot of us we take people correcting us or helping us to change as rejection. No, it's not. When we are being corrected, basically we are being parented. Yes. So, yeah. Okay. So the final two, I'm gonna finish over here, is direction. So we do need direction, you know, from God our Father, which is guidance and support. And I'm gonna finish over here. Number eight. Okay. Well, this is a bonus point. If we are kids and if we have parents, or if we are parents, we want to encourage even our parents to work on themselves as well. Because like, it's not just us we have to work on, but us as parents. Or if we have parents, we want to encourage them to grow as well. So so these are the eight foundational and legitimate needs for a healthy soul. And the final thought is that I want to ask all of us some questions there. I'm going to post up these questions. Let me see if I can bring it up there. So in which area or areas you are stronger? Number two, in which area or areas that you feel least healthy? In which area or areas would you like to grow in? So I'm going to post up these questions and points in the chat, and we can discuss over that. So thank you, guys.